How to use synodality for tradition. At 1 Peter 5, we try our best to cover the news coming out of the Vatican. This means telling the truth, the whole ugly truth, whatever it is, as well as any good news, like the good things Pope Francis did, for example, but with the utmost charity possible. Side note, I am constantly pained in my conscience when I try to tell the truth with Erasmian humor as best I can, because I never want to provoke any soul to harden their hearts against their spiritual fathers, and especially the Holy Father. Say a Hail Mary for me. So, we're trying to tell the truth about the Vatican. So, we've been following the neo-modernist dream of the St. Gallen Mafia, aka synodality, for the past few years. None of us has any illusions about this, and even quote-unquote mainstream bishops and cardinals like Mueller, the erstwhile head of the office formerly known as Holy, have denounced quote-unquote synodality as, quote, a hostile takeover of the church, end quote. That's from Mueller. But what we really want to do at 1 Peter 5 is point the way toward a solution. Let's talk about the reality of the situation. Let's reverence our bad bishops, yes, but let's get off the internet and onto our knees. We've got the traditional faith. Now let's conquer in the name of His Majesty. We've founded our sodalities for this reason. The Crusade of Eucharistic Reparation, the Fasting Sodality, the Fatima Icon. But something new occurred to me while I was reading the latest document on synodality, the meeting about meeting about meeting about meetings from the Vatican. And this is what occurred to me. We can use this against them. First of all, like I said, let's not kid ourselves. We know that synodality is the plot of the neo-modernists to overthrow the church. But here's the question. What would our forefathers say? Who by faith conquered kingdoms, wrought justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, recovered strength of weakness, became valiant in battle, put to flight the armies of foreigners. Hebrews 11:33. We don't know yet whether Pope Leo is Francis 2.0, or is he trying to salvage synodality on behalf of orthodoxy. But let's assume for the moment the worst possible scenario that some trads are saying right now. Pope Leo is Francis II in the worst possible sense. So again, what would our forefathers say? What would our trad godfathers say, who faced a much worse situation than us? Here's what they would say. Bring it on. So let's survey the battlefield here. What is this new document? It's the guide for your local diocese to execute the, quote, implementation phase of synodality. This means to put into practice the final document that was released last year. So we know the plot of the Marxists. They want to do the steps we just outlined last week when we talked about the leak regarding Traditionis Custodes. So their first step. Step one for the Marxists, form an elite conspiracy of power-hungry heretics. They've already done that with, say, Gallen Mafia. They've been doing that for decades. What's their step two? Step two, find an emotional grievance that many people have, i.e., females are excluded from the priesthood. This has been their drumbeat since the 1960s. What's their step three? Step three, whip up the mob using emotional rhetoric about this grievance. So they're talking about female dignity or whatever to try to stir up the mob and promote this. And their step four, tell everyone that this mob represents the people, i.e. synodality, surveying the masses, just like they had that false survey with Traditionis Custodes. Step five, impose your minority will on the majority in the name of the people. And this is, quote, the implementation phase. So we know what they're doing. This is the whole thing. This is the whole plan. They've done it before with multiple synods. This is their whole plan. Okay. So that's the bad news. Let's have the good news. Most bishops do not want to suppress the Latin Mass. Some of them genuinely care about the principles of Summorum Pontificum. Others only care about the status quo. And what's the status quo? The TLM parishes are paying their bills and not causing the bishop any more headaches. Further, other bishops are already drowning in a priest shortage and a budget crisis, closing churches left and right, and literally cannot afford to spend more money on the bureaucratic nightmare that is synodality. As Bishop Schneider says so perfectly in Christus Vincit, quote, so here's a quote from Bishop Schneider, quote, "Is this the church of the poor, which was so stressed during the Second Vatican Council and afterwards? The continuous meetings and assemblies of bishops, they are spending so much money, it's incredible. If we would reduce drastically the frequency of these meetings, we could give millions of dollars every year to the poor around the world. To me, this is a sin that churchmen are committing today, even setting to the side for a moment the problems with these excessive meetings, which are ultimately a manifestation of Pelagianism and undermine the supernatural, to say nothing of the problem of the almost continuous stream of doctrinally ambiguous documents they produce. I believe it is sinful to spend so much money, which we could give to the poor in our world. We have to stop this. But it seems that the frequency of synods and meetings is only going to increase under the pretext of so-called synodality." So, end quote. That's from Bishop Schneider, Christus Vincit. So the point is that bishops are already faced with this bureaucratic nightmare, and their budgets are not in good shape. And the Vatican comes along and wants them to spend more money on all these things that we don't even know what's going on. Okay, so here's what you do. Here's my idea for a practical plan to do this implementation phase, to actually do synodality into your diocese right now under Pope Leo in this new time, in this new implementation phase. Here's the steps. Number one, form an elite group of pious traditionalists. Only choose men and women who are zealous for mental prayer, fasting, and Eucharistic reparation. In other words, they are abounding in holiness and charity. Cranky mad trads should not be chosen for this group, who will do more harm than good. Step number two, begin Eucharistic reparation regularly in your parish. Step three, surrender to the will of God in line with what Our Lady of Fatima asked the shepherds. Quote, so this is what Our Lady said on May 13, 1917. She asked the shepherds this question. This was her question. Quote, "Are you willing to offer yourselves to God and bear all the sufferings he wills to send you as an act of reparation for the sins by which he is offended and of supplication for the conversion of sinners?" End quote from Our Lady. Now, how did they respond? They said, "Yes, we are willing." And Our Lady said this to them, quote, "Then you will have much to suffer, but the grace of God will be your comfort." End quote. Only if we abandon ourselves to this way of the cross will we make any progress for tradition, both in our souls and in society. Step four, if this spiritual grounding is truly established among pious souls, then go to the bishop and ask for, quote, dialogue and synodality. Meet with him in person. Tell him your faith experience and faith journey. Tell him how you encountered the Paschal mystery at the Latin Mass. Step five, remind him of all the numbers of your parish's contribution to the diocesan budget. Convince him that he is your father and that you are not going to harden your heart against him, but contribute all the fair share of the money, which is yours, for your parish to contribute. Step six, think of some act of synodality that your parish can do to lighten his burden for the souls in his diocese. Try to find out what it is. What is he burdened with? What's the big problem? He's looking for volunteers for the soup kitchen or whatever. So bring this to him. Offer him to contribute to the diocese. Trad parishes have an unfortunate reputation of sort of closing in on themselves. And you can offer him something that he will appreciate. Step seven, be sincere. You can literally make synodality into a filial act of reverence, which is entirely traditional. An elder man rebuke not, but entreat him as a father. 1 Timothy 5:1. Step eight, take the implementation phase of synodality seriously in your diocese. Do this process again and again if necessary. After you do this for the next few years, up to the climax of the Ecclesial Assembly in 2028, the bishop will do one of three things. Number one, he will reject you, in which case you give thanks to suffer in line with Fatima, the same way the apostles reacted to synodality in their day. And they indeed went from the presence of the council, synodality, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer reproach for the name of Jesus, Acts 5:41. Or he might not reject you. He might do nothing, in which case your status quo is secure. Continue to hear the Latin Mass and build it up where you can. Or number three, best case scenario, he will defend and support your Latin Mass, in which case go further and spread the crusade of Eucharistic reparation to other good Catholic parishes as best you can. Start a chapter of St. Paul Street Evangelization and welcome more souls into your parish. Keep on going and do more for the greater glory of God and salvation of souls. Jesus is King. Either which way your trad synodality implementation phase pans out with your bishop, Jesus wins.